Sprint cars, super late models, thunder cars, modifies, World of Outlaws, Arcos, it's all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, famed short tracks. All the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
Here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, 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 good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio, live tonight on Racetime Radio, and so glad you could tune in. How about this? Perfect weather all week long. As soon as those cup cars get on the track for the Daytona 500, stop and go, and stop and go. Junior, it was one of those days for the 500. Everybody, anticipation keeps growing.
Yeah, absolutely. And hello to everybody listening, waiting for this Daytona 500 to kick off. I know there's lots of people out there. You know, this is the best time of the year, man. The 500 is here. And, man, the feeling of feeling that rain come down. I've been through a rain delay at Daytona. It is not fun.
No,
and,
it's not.
You know, as a fan, it's a lot of fun. But yeah. If you're there working it, definitely it's going to be a tiresome couple days for those guys. I threw out a tweet actually just a few minutes ago talking about they're under the gun to get these guys gone, get
sure.
these guys out of Daytona, because really their next race is next weekend in Vegas, and every one of those haulers, every one of those teams has to be on the road midday Tuesday.
And
in order to make it there for when the garage opens. So it's, you know, this is just a tough deal all around. You know, tomorrow's President's Day down in the U.S., today's or tomorrow's Family Day up here in Canada. And, you know, I think that you're going to see a late night green flag for the Daytona 500.
Well, we'll have to see what transpires. But I'll tell you what, we got lots of Speed Weeks coverage on tonight. We're going to hear from some of the winners at New Smyrna Speedway. We got Nicholas Nago going to come on later in the show. We're also going to talk to, how about the Gander Truck Series champion, the guy that went to Victory Lane. We have got Grant Enfinger going to join us tonight.
We can't call him a champion.
Well,
he's not a Truck Series champion.
Yes, he was.
No,
he was a season champion last year, buddy.
Matt
the
Crafton.
The regular season champion.
Yes.
So, yeah, you're right.
But, you can call it a Daytona 500 champion.
Now?
You know, but you can't call a Truck Series win at Daytona a championship.
Got his ticket punched for the 2020 championship.
He definitely does.
Yeah.
And he's firmly in those playoffs. And, man, it's going to be cool to catch up with Grant. That was a huge win. You know, it's funny because it spurred a lot of mixed emotions, just the way that he drove the final lap, win at all costs. Seen the run coming from Jordan Anderson, dove out to the outside. We seen at the short track level, you know, one of the closest finishes I've ever seen with those two Wheeler modifieds with Hirschman,
yes.
Hirschman and Mozak. Is it, how do you say his last name?
No.
The 92 car.
92 car.
But
yep.
Anyways, we've seen one of the closest finishes. They never touched each other on a short track. Then we go to Daytona. You see at Daytona where Grant Enfinger puts the absolute door and crowds the three car up into the fence, or the three truck rather, up into the fence. We've seen contact at Daytona for the win. We've seen no contact at New Smyrna. Man, what is this world coming to? It's different.
Yeah,
but
it's flip-flopped.
What a cool win for Grant Enfinger and that champion, you know, team. Just a dynamite finish. I was on my feet. I know you were as well.
Yeah.
It was so cool all around, and even second place, man. It was so cool to see Jordan Anderson, see the energy. Talk about energy in Victory Lane down at Daytona this year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like the energy that we've seen. Of course, you know, from Grant Enfinger and those guys picking up his first truck win at Daytona, and then as well Noah Gregson, one of the coolest Victory Lane celebrations we've ever seen. Just super excited, super pumped to be there. It's been refreshing. It's been a refreshing week of racing. There's been so much cool things happen in a very short period of time. Such a neat week overall.
Yeah, it sure has been. Yeah, also on tonight's show, Junior, got to tell you, another Canadian, of course, we got Stu Friesen, full blast in the truck series, did a great job in that race, got tied up in it, but Stu Friesen, full blast, Canadian. This year, of course, Raphael Lessard is also full tilt in that truck series, and he's driving the number four for KBM. We're going to hear from Raphael tonight on the show. He was looking really good and then got punted. Away he went into the infield. So we'll hear from Raphael tonight. We'll also hear from Alex Labbé. Had a dynamite run in the Xfinity Series. Back behind the wheel of the 36 for DGM. Had a great run going. He and his teammate. Got to put it out to Josh Williams, too. Dynamite job by both those guys. But Alex was looking at a solid top five finish until the number 68 stuck his nose where it didn't belong, hit the one hit the 36, and boom, it was on. A half a lap to go, and Alex would have had the finish of his career so far and potentially a shot at the win, and it all goes away. He come home in it with the top 10, though. Pretty good for him.
Yeah, for sure. The DGM team, you know, they wrecked a pile of equipment, man. I seen a picture from DGM's shop earlier on in the week. I guess it was on Wednesday. You know, it was on the DGM racing page. And they had three cars there, of course. They had Cesar Baccarella in the 90, who, you know, got spun right at the beginning of the race and then got tied up later on. Wrecked that number 90 car. They also had the 92 of Josh Williams, and they had the 36 of Alex Labbé. All three of those cars got destroyed down there, but they came home with a really good finish and a lot of momentum heading into the 2020 Xfinity season. Just a great performance. I honestly thought that Alex Labbé was done for. If that yellow didn't come out, you know, right towards the end of that race, I thought Alex Labbé was going to be absolutely done with the pit strategy that they had played out.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about it, and he was the only guy that hadn't pitted for a long period of time, and he was way out front.
Yep.
But
19 laps.
Exactly. And you know, he was by himself. There was a pack of cars doing about 15 miles an hour faster than him. And ended up getting gobbled up. He came down, you know, pitted for four tires, luckily cycled out into the lucky dog spot behind that pack, getting lapped. And, you know, they had a great pit stop to make that happen because there was about 10 cars fighting for that lucky dog spot.
Yeah.
And he ended up cycling his way through, you know, restarted, I believe, 15th on that final green flag stretch, and, you know, ended up subsequently getting tied up in that final lap wreck. But definitely a great finish for Alex Labbé. He drove a masterful race and you know, arguably, you know, one of the best performances out of the Canadian contingent that were down there. Other than Jason White.
Yeah,
how about that?
Yeah.
Jason White goes out there, gets a sixth place in the ARCA race, gets a he gets a 10th place in the truck.
Two top 10 finishes. ARCA presented by Menards, and he did it in the trucks too. Survived, kept his nose clean the whole time, and look at him. He goes out there and gets another top 10. Great, great job by Sunpeaks BC driver Jason White. So good on him. As I mentioned, we're going to have Nicholas Noggle on the show tonight. He's going to come up in segment two. He went to victory lane at New Smyrna Speedway in the Pro Late model. And we're also going to hear from a young standout that did a tremendous job behind the number 13 wheel, Austin McDonald from Nova Scotia, as well as Nick. Austin did a great job behind the wheel of that 13 King Freight machine. And he is going to be on the show tonight. So we got an action-packed show, my man.
We got a busy one. And lucky for us, I think our listenership is going to be huge on the stream.
I wouldn't doubt it.
You know, the Daytona 500 has been postponed until 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Yes.
4 o'clock Eastern time. So there's lots of people going to be tuned in to get a little bit of racing fix while Mother Nature rains on the parade a little bit down in mid-Florida.
Yeah, she has her way, doesn't she? What we're going to do here, Junior, we're going to hit this quick break. When we come back, we're going to have the winner of Friday night's truck race, the Next Era 250. We got Grand End Figure, that champion Thor Sport Ford. He's coming on this show right after this break. Stay with us. We will be back.
Hey, race fans, this is Trevor Bain, and I'm glad you're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by Atlantic Tilt Load, specialist in the transportation of industrial equipment across Canada and the U.S. Also by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of Race Time Radio in Nova Scotia.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so
I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the insight of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Cheap Trick guitarist Rick Nielsen on Canada Talks.
The 17 albums of all different stuff, and we've never stopped touring. We never expected to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We never expected something for nothing. It was, you know, we spent our own money making our records, too. You know, and we did it, and we listened to people.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167, and on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
oh. Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey,
hear rare interviews and performances.
Oh,
concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, SiriusXM Channel 20.
Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Lucky son of a bitch in that tunnel turn, because that car was way out of shape.
Well, you think it was luck, let's do it again.
Welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. A little bit of luck goes a long way, especially at that Daytona, Junior.
You got to be good to be lucky, though.
Yeah, you sure do.
You can't fall into luck.
No, you
not
can't.
Not at Daytona. You got to work for it, but it does go a long way.
You want to believe it. Let's get to the hotline, shall we? And let's bring in, how about a big-time winner, Daytona International Speedway, just Friday night, under the lights, the NextEra 250 winner. We got Grand Enfinger driver, that number 98, Thor Sport Champion Equipment Ford, and he did it, went to victory lane. What's going on there, Grant? Thanks for the time tonight.
Yeah, no, it's all great. Just made it back home from Daytona a couple hours ago, and me and the wife did, and we're still flying high. It was a great weekend for us for Champion Power Equipment, for Dick and Rhonda Thorson, who are celebrating their 25th year. And for Ford Performance, and we had one fast Ford F-150 all night long, so it was just a great night for us, all in all.
Dynamite stuff, Grant. I'll tell you what, you really know how to get those people standing on their feet. You even had Junior and I standing on our feet, and we were at home watching you.
Well, I appreciate that. Unfortunately, I didn't want it to be quite as exciting as what it ended up, but we ended up on the good side of things this time. And just very, very thankful for that. So it's definitely been a great start to the season. But man, we're not resting on that. We got Vegas coming up this Friday night.
Now, Grant, we got to go back to the last lap coming to the checkered, coming to the stripe. And I want to ask this question selfishly as a spotter, but how much of it? And I want you to take credit for it if it is, but I want you to give credit if it's not. How much of it is you blocking the run or moving up to take that spot? How much is it the spotter telling you that the run is coming?
You know, a lot of it is, it's all the combination of it. But a lot of it can be boiled back down to your instinct and just your gut feeling as a driver, and then the instinct and the gut feeling of Chris Lambert, my spotter, who I have a ton of trust in, who we worked all year last year together, and man, pretty much whatever he says, I'm going to do, and he's pretty good at seeing things before they happen, and he kind of called that one. I kind of thought we had lost the race at that point. He got the advantage on us. I was able to you know, hit his door a little bit, slow down his momentum, side draft him for just a second, and then peel off of him, and it all just worked out. So sometimes the stars line up for us, and it feels like, you know, feels like it did on Friday night. So just a great feeling there. But you know, that wasn't the only stressful part. Just after we took the white flag, Ross was giving me a really big shove, and I knew he was going to try to get to my outside, and I kind of felt like that was going to happen, and I was able to defend that one, and he ended up getting free or something there, and that kind of held him off, and then lo and behold, a corner later, Jordan Anderson was right there. So just a tough last lap there, but very thankful to end up on the good end of things this time.
Well, I'll tell you what, you had to have hands of a surgeon when you were coming to that line to get into that three truck and not wreck that three truck. That was the amazing part of it. You did what you had to do, but in the same respect, you did not take that truck out. And we've seen so many times at Daytona where, you know, the guy goes to throw the block or tries to slow the other guy down and maybe not intentionally wrecking them, but it happens more often than not. Grant, you did not do that. You got into him, and like you say, you peeled off. And, man, you won that race by the bumper on that Ford F-150.
It was. That was all it took. And, man, I'd definitely do it again if we had another opportunity. I'm not sure if it was paying out that good. It seemed like we crossed the stripe just in the nick of time. But yeah, all that happens in the blink of an eye. And Jordan, man, he ran a good race. He got in really good position there, and things worked out for him to have a shot at it. But man, we had led way too many laps for our champion power equipment guys, and man, it really had a great race. We didn't want to give it away on that last little shoot before the stripe. So glad we were able to capture that back. And me and Jordan were messing around there up top, and my buddy Cody about took it from us, who finished third. But it was really close right there at the stripe.
He just about had
it. But just a great feeling. You know, last year we had a good season, had a solid season, had a lot of good runs, and I feel like it hurt our playoffs, the fact that we weren't able to lock in early. You know, because there's a big advantage to being able to win early in the Gander trucks. It puts you in a lot better position. You can do a little development. We can race for some more wins instead of just having to solely rely on the stage points to get us in. So I feel like myself, Jeff Hensley, Josh Hankish, everybody on the Story Sport 98 team are in a lot better position moving forward into the playoffs.
You kind of lead me directly into my next question, which is perfect. But when you look at Thor Sport as a whole, it's easy for a team to show up. It's not easy. It's never easy to show up with a fast piece of equipment. But it's easy for a team to focus on one over another or have a different piece over another. But it seemed like Thor Sport brought four completely equal trucks to the racetrack. And you've seen that play out through the race. Thor Sport, you know, really, you guys were the power, I feel, in that race all the way through. But talk a little bit about where Thor Sport's at right now, because it looked like you guys were superpowers again. Not that you weren't last year, and not that Thor Sport hasn't been in the past, but I seen a different Thor Sport out on the racetrack this time.
You know, I guess, you know, as a racer, your competitive spirit, you always want to be better. I was talking to Hensley after the race about, you know, where I thought we were good, where I thought we were just kind of okay, and where we need to work on for Talladega. And, you know, we got done talking with the conversation. It's like, but I say all that, and I don't know if I saw anybody that was, you know, that much better than us. But you know, Joe, back to what you were saying, we tried some stuff at Talladega. We have had a decent speedway program, I feel like. Last year, our specific truck on the 98 team, we could suck up really good, we could push really good, and we couldn't lead very well. I felt like we struggled there. So we made some improvements. We tried really hard to make our stuff better at Talladega, and it just didn't work. But two of our teammates, they found some stuff that really worked for them. We were able to rely on them. So we brought back all four trucks as close to the same as we could, and it really showed. I mean, like you said, all four of our Thor Sport Racing F-150s were very strong. All four of them were capable of winning that race on Friday night. And man, we were able to work with Ben a good bit during the night. I feel like both of ours, we could have pushed or got pushed to the victory. And we worked really well together. And just feel like overall, that was probably one of those races that we all four had pretty equal trucks. So thankful for that. I feel like we're going in the right direction at a lot of things at Thor Sport Racing. And man, that's such a great feeling that it was able to work out for us on Friday night for Duke and Rhonda and Allison, who are all there. You know, they've done so much for the Truck Series and going into their 25th year to be able to celebrate with a win right off the bat means a lot to all of us.
We're with Grant Enfinger tonight. That's Grant over there. He is a winner. He won at Daytona on Friday night in the Gander Truck Series season opener. It was the NextEra 250, and Grant Enfinger goes to victory lane with his champion equipment, Thor Sport Ford. And I'll tell you what, that was quite a show. If you happen to have missed it, you're going to want to get to YouTube or somewhere and check the highlights out of this one. But Grant, that had to be the emotional roller coaster of really a lifetime. You've done a lot of races. You've done a lot of winning at Daytona. Now, this was your first truck win at Daytona, securing Ford's first 100. That's their 100th win. But that had to be an emotional roller coaster. You were looking good early on. Then later in the race, you started looking good again. You were leading. And then you found yourself a lonesome sort of guy sitting in the middle and everybody going by. Did it sort of send the alarms off in your head, in your helmet, thinking, man, I just lost the race?
Yeah, you know, Daytona and Talladega both are really all these truck races are super emotional. You should ask my wife, she's there watching them, but from behind the wheel, they are as well. But these super speedways, Daytona and Talladega, there's so many ups and downs. There's so much that you can control, but there's so much that you can't as well. You know, I feel like, I feel like we were in the right place at the right time. The big man upstairs was looking out for us a little bit on Friday night, I think. But just overall, had a great F-150. We were able to qualify okay. We qualified 11th, and it seemed like people wanted to ride around at the beginning, and we were perfectly fine with that. And then Jeff Hensley made a call to get us some track position, and then we were able to control the race for a bit. And then we found out we had a pretty good truck that could lead. And then we were able to utilize the outside lane and get the lead later on in the race. But with about 20 laps to go, I was in the process of trying to you know, play it safe and stay on the bottom. But I felt like the second lane was going to prevail. My teammate Ben Rhodes was back there and I really wanted to get in front of him. And I just made a late move on him and ended up three wide in the middle with about 20 to go and fell back to 12th or 14th or something like that. And at that point, I felt like I just, you know, throwing our race away. Because Jeff Hensley, our pit crew, everybody did a great job of getting us that track position and felt like we had a truck good enough to control the field. And I just flat out threw it away. And then I felt like the guys were going to start wrecking. Everybody was pushing and shoving really, really hard. I saw some door numbers on some guys, and you know, I really, really felt like we were wrecking. Had that gut feeling, so So I kind of peeled off a little bit, tried to give me some room in front of me, and got to the bottom of the track. And then all the laps kept clicking off, and somehow, you know, we didn't wreck. And it got to be four or five laps to go there, and it's like, man, it's time to go. We got to make something happen. And I was able to get up at the top, the kind of the third groove up there, and got a good pusher, and made some stuff happen, and just squeaked by to take the lead when all the guys wrecked underneath us. So fortunate to that it kind of played out that way. But man, a lot of that is you know, being in the right place at the right time. But a lot of it is having a great Ford F-150 that allowed us to make some of those moves and allowed other guys to want to go with us because we had that speed. So that's a great feeling. That's something that we've struggled with some on our speedway program is being able to lead a pack, and we were able to do that really well there on Friday night.
Well, you get that first win of the season, that the checkbox is filled up there. Now you punch your ticket. You know that things are going to go well as soon as the playoffs all kick off. And I might add, they're going to kick off in Canada at CTMP, another racetrack that I know you love. But now you leave the Super Speedway with the big trophy and the checkered flag. Now you got to erase everything that you had in your mind from Daytona to prepare for Vegas. What's that transition like going from the 2.5 mile to a 1.5 mile track?
You know, it's a big difference for a lot of reasons, definitely how we race. But, you know, there's so much energy and effort into Daytona, and there's so much exposure, and there's so much of everything. All the sponsors show up. Our friends from Champion were there. We had guys from Curb Records there, all the ownership, all the figureheads are at Daytona, because that's where we start off the year. But outside of that, you can't take a whole lot of that for what that's going to mean to the rest of your season. But you can take a whole lot from Vegas. You know, obviously, 1.5 miles make up a big part of our schedule. I feel like we excelled there last year, and we put more energy and more effort into our 1.5 mile program this year. I know Jeff Hensley's got a couple things that we kind of chased a little bit last year that we're going to try to keep going down that path and keep accelerating our growth on that for Friday night in Vegas. So I'm excited about that. And man, I'm really excited about not necessarily having to chase the stage points when we get there. If a caution comes out with a few laps to go in a stage, we're probably one of the few ones that are running the whole season that can take a chance and not worry about the stage points and try to put ourselves in the track position to win the race. So I feel like that'll be very beneficial for us. But, you know, Vegas can get pretty racy, pretty wide open, being cool and being this early in the season. So I expect a lot of wide open racing, a lot of side-by-side racing. And yeah, anybody that was watching last Friday night, it hopefully won't be that crazy in Vegas. But they are really, really awesome races to watch. The restarts we have are just absolutely phenomenal and pretty entertaining.
Big time emphasis goes into qualifying at Vegas, or what do you think there?
You know, it does, but it's not the end of the day. If you qualify 15th, you can still win the race from there at Vegas. So the most emphasis I'm going to put on it in practice, which our practices are abbreviated this year. Not a whole lot's been talked about that, but we've got about 25% less practice this year, which is going to kind of change things for us a little bit. But I want to hold it wide open as long as I can. You know, if this race, you know, this early, I feel like a really good truck should be able to hold it wide open for at least 10 laps or so. The longer you can hold it wide open, the further up the grid you're going to end up. So I'm not as worried about qualifying as I am just, you know, how long I can hold it wide open, if I can make moves to the outside, if I can get underneath somebody without getting loose. Those are the things that we're going to work on during practice.
Absolutely. Well, good luck for the rest of the season. I know you're going to have a blast, and I imagine we'll talk to you every time you win. So go out and win a lot so we can catch up. But you know, one thing I do got to mention, we touched on the Canadian race up here for Mossport. Last year you came up and you know, you tried your hand at fishing a little bit. But next you know, for this year, you got to come up a little bit earlier, and we'll teach you actually how to Canadian fish. 10-4?
I'd love to do that. Y'all are some of my favorite Canadians. I got a lot of friends up there, so maybe we're able to get up there earlier. Last year, we were able to do a little IMSA racing. I don't have anything lined up, but I'd really like to run the pennies race up there earlier on in the year. Because, like we mentioned, Mossport is in our playoffs. It's a very important race for us. It's something I need to get better at, so I'm gonna try to get up there. Hopefully before we get up there with our Fords there in September. So thank you all for all your support, and I also need to say thank you to Duke and Rhonda Thorson for this opportunity, for Mike Curb, everybody at Champion Power Equipment, everybody that allows us to do this.
I know a guy who's got a good Pindy's car. If you need one, just give me a call.
Sounds good.
You bet, Grant. Congratulations on the win. And again, thanks so much for the time tonight on Race Time. You go have some fun. You don't get long to soak this one up. And I know we'll be watching you in Vegas.
Sounds great, guys. Thank y'all.
You bet. That is Grant Enfinger. Did a dynamite job at Daytona. Comes home with the checkered flag. That's the object of the game. He gets his ticket punched and wins his third race, this time at Daytona. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking trucks. The next guy we got, you don't want to miss, Rafael Lazard on the other side of the break.
Hi, this is Tony Stewart, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
In the wall, he'll slide up and he'll slam on the safer barrier, and he clips Larson. He'll send Larson.
The thrill of the race, live from the track.
Definitely sliding into it, out of control.
Unbelievable how quickly things can change in racing.
There's no weak spot.
You just never know how it's going to play out.
Insider access to the drivers.
We'll roll with it. We're enjoying it. We'll collect as many trophies as we can.
And the exclusive home to Happy Hours, hosted by Kevin Harvick.
It's a new normal. Better figure it out.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian singer-songwriter Stephen Page.
I've been fairly quiet about political things over the last bunch of years. You know, I moved to the United States. I can't vote there. I'm not a citizen. I can't vote here anymore because I've been away for longer than 5 years. And I was wondering whether I had a right to speak up or whether it mattered whether I spoke up. Closest to a conclusion that I could come is this is who I am. And the best thing I can be as an artist is honest.
Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167.
Race Time Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Race Time Radio on Sirius XM 167, Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Back with you live tonight on Race Time Radio. Got to thank you all for tuning in. And man, I'll tell you what, start at Daytona on Friday night. A hot shoe for Canada is in those races. He was looking real, real good in that JBL number 4 for KBM on Friday night until he got punted. But let's catch up with him, shall we? We've got Rafael Lazard on the other end of the hotline. What's going on tonight, Raf? How you doing, buddy?
How are you?
Doing fantastic. Man, what a debut for you at Daytona. It was looking really good for a while there.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. It was a dream come true to race there in Daytona. And I can't thank everyone enough. My team, Kyle Busch Motorsports, they gave me an awesome debut out there at Andro.
And to get into that race, to make your debut at Daytona,
we're actually losing you there, Raphael. You're going to have to stand still, hold your left arm up, hold your right leg out, and then you can have cell reception.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
We got you now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Sorry about that.
No, it's all good. It's all good. It's a part of living down in the United States now. I feel like, you know, in that Charlotte corridor, is that where you are, in Mooresville now?
Yeah, Mooresville.
Yeah, it's called Cell Hell down there. No, nobody can ever get reception, but start over again.
All right. Well, first of all, I can't thank everyone enough at Cobbush Motorsport for this awesome JBL to the Tundra. It made my job way easier, and I was able to focus on just learning the draft and being in the pack like this. It's a lot different than a short track, I'll tell you. But it was amazing and a dream come true. I'm just really excited to head to Vegas for my second race, and I think we'll be even better.
Raphael, you got tons and tons of laps with a pro late model, a super late model, all these different types of cars. You get into the truck for the first time last Friday at Daytona. What was the experience like? A totally different animal, especially in the draft. And what did it feel like when you got punted and sent through the infield? That must have been scary stuff.
Yeah, it was. I didn't even have time to be scared. Honestly, it was it happened so quick. Like at the end of a race like this in Daytona, everyone gets so like close to each other, and it gets crazy. I think I was doing an awesome job, and it's just I got side draft at the wrong spot at the wrong time off of four. It's where it was the hardest to keep the truck straight the whole race off of four. It was the rear would get really light. So when he side-drafted me, he took the air off of me, and my spoiler just followed his, and it snapped me around. But I was able to save it, and then coming back up to speed, I cut a left front. So that's why I fell two laps down, and then I finished 20th, one lap down. So it was an awesome experience for sure, and I'm really looking forward to the rest of the season.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. You were the top qualifying Canadian in the field. There was yourself in eighth spot. I want to say that Stu Friesen, he was back like 21st, and then Jason White was back beyond that. All three of you qualified for the event, though. I'll tell you what, all three of you made it very excited for Canadian race fans to be able to tune in and to have a couple bullets in the chamber, so to speak, with a shot at the win at Daytona. And throughout the rest of the season, this is going to be kind of cool for fans on both sides of the border to key in on the Truck Series races.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a lot of fun for them. And just at Daytona this weekend, I think it was the first one that took the first time that two Canadians was P1 and P2 at Daytona and during a truck race. Friesen was P1, and I was pushing him to stay in the lead. So that was a lot of fun, and I had a blast. Honestly, it was my first time there, and it's just a whole different style of racing, and it's just a lot of fun. And I'm ready to go to other new track like Vegas, Atlanta, Homestead, and learn even more. And I'm ready.
Raphael, I know that you're good with basically everything you strap into. You're a quick learner. It's not like you've never been in a heavy car before. You've been in a couple truck starts and you know, ARCA and things like that. But I want to hear from your perspective on what it feels like to be side drafted. I think it's something that that everybody, you know, kind of looks at on TV, and there's lots of talk and there's lots of learning to be done as a driver. But what does it feel like when somebody packs that air onto your spoiler, or when you do it back to them? What does that feel like inside the car or inside the truck, for that matter?
It just feels like you're dragging a parachute in the back of your truck. It's pretty crazy. The first time I got side draft was in practice, and my truck, I was going through a trioval at Daytona at the start-finish line, and I got side draft there, and my truck almost, like, pretty much changed angle, and it wasn't even going straight anymore, and then the guy got away and it fixed itself. And it just, you can see the whole engine start working harder, and it just slowed you down so much. There's a way to do it that I learned during the race how to get better at it. But those guys that have a lot of experience can slow you down a lot. And it's what happened to me also at the end of the race, where I got side drafted and I got even turned around. So it's a lot of new thing for sure, but it feels kind of weird, I would say.
That's cool.
We seen you talking to the boss, Kyle Busch, before the race. What was he telling you? What was he getting you prepared for the race, tell you what to expect?
Yeah, and we texted back and forth the morning before the race, and I was asking him advice. And then when I saw him, it was before qualify, I asked him what to do to beat those guys in qualify, and he was like, yeah, I wish I knew, because in qualify at Daytona, you hold it wide open and you just kind of don't want to turn the steering wheel too much, and you want to be smooth with everything and run the bottom on your fast lap, and there's nothing much you can do. Sometimes you get a good win from behind and you gain some speed with that, but if the wind is going against you, there's no way you can qualify on the pole, so it's a lot different for sure.
Well, you got the notes now for next year when you get back to Daytona. You'll have that to be able to pull out. You'll have a little experience to lean on. But now you got to get set for Las Vegas. We just heard from Grant Enfinger, the winner of the race. He's all set for Vegas. How about you? What are you thinking going into Vegas, and how have you prepared to go?
Well, TRD, Toyota's got a really nice simulator that me and my team, Kyle Busch Motorsport, can use. So I've been using it to prepare to Las Vegas a lot and the next few race comings, and we're going to go again probably tomorrow. And also just study a lot of in-car camera from last year and the year before. And I'm just going to do just like I did at Daytona before going to Daytona, and Daytona was really good. Daytona was my first super speedo, and now Vegas is my first mile and a half, so that's going to be another style of racing again, but I'm ready to learn and ready to get going.
Now, we got to ask you, this is not about racing at all, this is on the lifestyle side. Of course, you're Canadian, you've spent a lot of time down in the U.S., but what's it like moving down to near Race City in Mooresville and now officially living there? It's got to be a little bit of a culture shock.
Yeah, it's a lot different, but I love it. You know,
cool.
Toyota's got an awesome gym, too, that I can go to for their driver with a coach there, and it's just amazing how well I'm surrounded, and I can go to the shop at Kyle Busch Motorsport, talk with my team every day, ask questions, and learn more and more. So it's really cool, and I'm just really, really grateful for this opportunity, and it's awesome to be in the racing world. Like, here, all you talk about is racing, and everyone seems to be to like racing and part of racing somehow, so it's really cool.
Well, we know we're going to get a chance to get you back on this side of the border come CTMP, the Silverado 250 weekend on the road course. I know we're all looking forward to that. We got a nice season in between now and then that we definitely want to experience, but hey, I'll tell you what, it was cool watching you at Daytona. Wish you had a little better luck, because you really did look strong in that race, Rafael.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it. And we'll just keep on going, getting better and better every week, I think. And I think we're going to get some great results.
Absolutely. Go to Vegas. Have a great race. I know I'm going to take you. I'm going to call somebody down there and put a couple of bucks on that Ford truck. I got a sneaky suspicion you're going to do really good at that mile and a half, my friend.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You bet. That's Rafael Lazard. You can catch him. He drives the number 4 for KBM. He is the JBL truck, Joe. A beautiful-looking machine. And I don't think there's anybody more committed than you'll get Rafael Lazard. This guy can go.
Absolutely. He's definitely a shoe, and he's in great equipment. And how about this? We got two Canadians in absolutely spectacular equipment. You know, when you look at when you look at the in the past, you know, we've had Canadians go down and be in good equipment before. We've had that before. That being said, they're in great equipment. They have full blown opportunities, and of course, I'm talking about Stuart Friesen and Raphael Lessard, both of them.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at that Hallmar team, you know, they've got the best of everything, and
yes.
and you know, no corners have been cut. It's a full blown race winning championship caliber race team, and of course, on the KBM side, same deal. You know, there's not a better piece of equipment rolling in through the back gate at every one of those races than the two of their pieces. So, you know, it's really cool to see the opportunity that these guys have. It's exciting to see, you know, they're blazing the trail that has been beat down by a handful of Canadians over the past, you know, 15 to 20 years. And they've got the opportunity, you know, through a tremendous amount of hard work and determination and sacrifice and everything. And I hope that it opens the door even more. And, you know, it's really cool to see guys like that get the opportunity and the shot to go out and perform. So I think that, you know, it's interesting. And this is an interesting point. Neither one of them has got a Pinty's background.
No.
You know what
I mean? Raphael's got a Pinty's win.
He's got a Pinty's win, and he's got two races under his belt.
Right.
Stuart Friesen is going to have a race at Oschweken.
Yes.
But neither one of them came out of the national tour in Canada.
No.
And I find
you're right.
I find that, you know, very interesting. Now, of course, you've seen, you know, opportunities for Andrew Ranger and J.R. Fitzpatrick in the past, and Peter Gibbons and you know, DJ Kennington and Alex Labbe.
Yep.
There's opportunities there that have been, you know, through the Canadian ranks. But I hope that this kind of allows the opportunity for, you know, some of the Canadian competitors from the Pinty series to even, you know, expand their opportunities going into the future as well.
Yeah. Well, and they learn what they need to learn to in order to go to that next level. It's a huge step. There's no doubt. I don't care what you step out of to go into the truck series. It's going to be a learning curve, guaranteed. And I know back, you know, quite a few years ago when you looked at how do guys make the transition from Saturday night short track racing or, you know, even some tour perspective on it. A lot of guys would go from ARCA into the trucks, and that seemed to be the natural stepping stone. If you were going to be, you know, in the trucks, you pretty well had to go through the ARCA door. Now, not so much. You're seeing some guys be able to do the Pinty's racing, and they may do a couple of ARCA races before they get into the truck, but it is conceivable that they can go right from Pinty's into the trucks.
Absolutely. I mean, you are fully capable. If you are competitive in the Pinty series, if you're competitive in the Mexico series, the Euro series,
sure.
If you're competitive, you can go directly into the trucks, and I feel that you can at the short track level, the mile and under.
Yes.
The ARCA series and the K&N series are still vastly needed because they fill that gap of learning how to drive a mile and a half track, and they fill that gap of learning how to drive a 2 mile or a 2.5 mile super speedway. You know, a Pinty's competitor can't necessarily step out of the Pinty series and go directly to Daytona or directly to Pocono or even, you know, a racetrack like, you know, California or Michigan, one of those. It's definitely a vast jump because it's completely different disciplines. But, I mean, you know, a competitor can jump straight down from Pinty's directly into Loudon or Dover or Bristol, Michigan, Martinsville. Even
more so now that UCAS is back on the schedule.
Yep.
We've got that racetrack. 5/8 mile, you're getting accustomed to the speed. And really, that's what those bigger tracks do, right? It's more about the speed.
Everything
than it is about
it.
From what I can understand, when we talk to drivers that are out there, it doesn't seem to be that much faster inside the car. Yeah. Inside the car, everything is relevant.
Until something happens.
Until you go to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you go to stop, it takes forever to stop, which is pretty wild. Look, we're going to go back to the hotline right now, and we're going to welcome in a guy that did a tremendous job yesterday in that Xfinity Series opener at Daytona International. Let's welcome in the driver of the number 36 for DGM. We've got Alex Lebe with us. Alex, how are you, buddy?
Hey, pretty good. And you guys?
Fantastic, man. Hey, congratulations on a great run at Daytona. It was looking like you really had a shot to win that race, buddy. But at the end of the day, you come home with a top 10 finish. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, we had a really good effort. Hang on in that lead pack all day and just work our way around the good cars all day. It was really fun. We had a really good speed in our DGM racing car. Me and my teammate, Josh Williams, we were right up there and trying to make something happen, just drive it as hard as we can without putting a mark on it. It was a really solid day for us, for sure.
Alex, of course, you led a bunch of laps, but it was all by yourself through on the pit cycle. I thought you were absolutely done, and I was standing up, I was watching it on TV, and I was scared for you. I thought, oh, man, this is going the wrong way. And everything kind of turned around for you. Your crew executed amazing on pit road, and you were able to cycle your way back out, and that yellow couldn't have fallen at a better point. What was the feeling like looking up in the mirror? I know the broadcasters were talking about it. They were talking about, you know, the helpless feeling that you had sitting out front with a pack of cars going, you know, 15 miles an hour faster than you. What was it like sitting in the car, looking up in the mirror and seeing them guys coming?
It was pretty scary, but it took a long time before they came. I really thought like that first pack of cars were going to caught me a lot faster than that, but it didn't seem like, I think they were side by side and probably breaking themselves, like getting them, back in their full air or something. Because I got first pack of cars that didn't really catch me, and it's just when the good cars came back that's when they caught me pretty quick. But it was pretty scary when I saw that big pack of good cars coming. I knew they were coming quick. I mean, and I had nothing to do, just trying to get the gather momentum back and get back in line behind them. But right when we got past, we just decided to pit and just to kind of be a little more on the same strategy as they were, because we were kind of done our strategy. It didn't quite work out for that point, but it still worked out good at the end. I mean, we were the last car on the lead lap there when that caution flew, and we were right there battling for a top five finish in the last lap of the race. So I think it still worked out good, and it was pretty good for our sponsors to run out front at Daytona for around 20 laps.
Yeah, we're with Alex Lebe tonight, driver of the number 36 in the Xfinity Series down in NASCAR. Finished up at Daytona with a top 10 finish just yesterday on that big, beautiful speedway. Alex, is it just me, or did Mario turn the wick up this year? Man, that 36, the 92, and the 90 all looked like they were going a whole lot faster than they have in the past.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, Mario's always had some pretty decent speedway cars, but I think we just stepped it up a notch again this year. Just worked hard. I passed the last 2 weeks down there. We worked in day and night. Mario's is a really tough, hard worker. I'm 26 years old, and I can barely follow him. I mean, he's putting a lot of effort, a lot of hours in the shop, and just trying to make sure everything's fine. And I think it showed out pretty good. The cars were there, and they were ready to compete.
Looking at the overall, the grand scheme of the race, what was, and we didn't talk to you before, so what was a reasonable expectation for you guys after practice, after qualifying, before strapping into that car? What was a reasonable expectation? Is the top 10 a reasonable result for you guys? Do you guys hold your head high about that, like as high as we are and as excited as we are, or were you expecting more?
No, for sure. That's what we were going there for. I mean, we were top 10 is like, just like a win for us. Like, realistically, I mean, we qualified 19th and we got like what, top 20. We got top 20 speed. So that's pretty much the speed we got in our car, like 20th place. So whenever we can get better than that, it's always a good thing. And I mean, like I said earlier, we were right there. We were running like sixth on about half a lap to go when Hennett and Brandon Brown got together and wrecked in front of me. But I mean, for sure, a top five would have been fantastic for us. But still, we led some laps and finished P10. I think it's going to be a really good day for us for sure.
Well, if I could have reached out and grabbed that number 68 and gave him a shot in the head, I would have, buddy. Just so you know, we were really pulling for you. When is your next race in that 36, Alex?
I'll be in Vegas next week. I'm going to be in the 90, though. I'm not going to run the 36. We're going to run because the Bassetts are going to run that 90 number later in the year, so we're going to run for owner points in the 90. So I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in Vegas, but in the 99 and 36.
Well, yeah, I know you're going to be able to get all that 90 car has got in it. Good luck in that race.
Yep.
And we got to thank you for your time tonight on Race Time. Surely you appreciate it. And, Bud, you lit the lamp. I can't wait for you to get back behind the wheel.
Awesome. Thanks a lot for having me on the show.
You want to believe
it? Talk to you later.
That's Alex Levy, driver of the number 36. Junior, if there is a driver that needs support, that deserves support from a Canadian company in the U.S., that is the guy right there.
Yeah, 100%.
And there is a lot of guys, don't get me wrong, but Alex Labbe is the guy. And Mario Gosselin's teams are the teams.
Yep.
Period. I've been saying it for a long time. But that is the team, man. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, absolutely. For bang for your buck and for everything, and you know, you obviously look for a team that, you know, a dollar means something to them, and you know that team there, as hard as they work, you know, you hear it every time we talk to Mario, we talk to Alex, we talk to any of his drivers. The work ethic behind the entire team is so strong, and I look forward to seeing what can happen.
Yeah, and Vegas coming up this weekend. Look out for Vegas. Going to be exciting for these guys. Going to be exciting for us race fans. Trucks going there, Xfinity and Cup. But, of course, they got to finish the Daytona 500 that is now rain postponed. And you can watch it tomorrow at 4 p.m., I do believe. That's what time it was, right,
yep,
Junior?
4 p.m. Eastern time. Yep.
Yeah. So that is definitely coming up. That gives you Monday, our family day up here in Canada. Gives you something extra special to be able to watch the Daytona 500. I would imagine we're going to be able to see it on TSN. That's who carries all of the Cup races. Hopefully they'll have that one on there. Which I would well imagine they will. It will be on Fox, so we're going to look forward to that. We are going to throw it back to Toronto here in a couple of moments, get you up to date on some of the news and highlights that you may have missed over the first hour. And then we are coming back for hour number two. And in hour number two, I don't want to talk about Josh Williams for a minute when we come back. He did something pretty cool on his car that I don't know if everybody noticed it or not, I'm going to talk about it. And we're going to hear from the winner of the race, Noah Gregson. I got a clip with him in the media center. We'll have a listen to what Noah had to say after his big victory. And trust me when I say, this one here lit the lamp for Noah, didn't it?
Oh, it did, for sure. He had such a good race, and you know, he's so pumped. I love seeing somebody have success and actually, you know, get excited about having success.
Yeah.
Don't get out of the car and just say, yeah, we won. Get out of the car and you know, you earned it, man.
He did a burnout and actually lit the track on fire.
Yeah.
Where he did the burnout, piled the rubber up there. But anyway, we'll talk about it on the other side. Going to throw it back to Toronto. Scotty, take it away. Get us up to date on news. And it takes like 90 seconds. And then Junior and I will be back for hour number two tonight. Live on Racetime Radio. Stay with us.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on and
boom. Perfect!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. We're back with hour number two of Race Time Radio. With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins tonight on Race Time Radio, Sirius XM Channel 167. Or just maybe now, you're tuned in throughout the course of the week on the PerformanceMotorsportNetwork.com out of the U.S. Hello to all of you. 98.9 XFM, Antigonish, Nova Scotia, another spot that will air this very program throughout the course of the week. Hello to everybody in Antigonish. We'll see you this summer out at Riverside International. Gearhead Country Radio, another great way to hear Racetime Radio through the week. Or maybe you're listening on demand, and if you are, you either grabbed it at racetimeradio.com or you searched iTunes, because you could do that. And click like and subscribe when you check it out on iTunes, and you'll have Racetime Radio whenever you feel like it. You'll be able to just click and listen live. But back to Daytona now. We were talking about Saturday, the Xfinity Series race. Just an unbelievable race. Qualifying, Junior, I know you missed it. But there was something kind of cool. You know that Valentine's Day was in there, right?
Yeah.
And whenever any of the broadcasters were going up to the guys, they were sort of, you know, sort of leading around the idea that they should say happy Valentine's to their bride or to their girlfriend, whatever. And some of them just weren't taking the hint. So the interviewer would have to come right out and say, Valentine's? Oh, yeah, Valentine, da-da-da-da. Josh Williams, what he did with his number 90 car, or pardon me, 92, he had the grill taped up, and he put his wife's name in that tape on that. Yeah. Pretty cool idea, right?
It is, for sure.
So there's a guy that was thinking ahead. For Valentine's Day, put his wife's name right in that grill, and, you know, the camera's going to be on it. So mission accomplished. That's Josh Williams thinking ahead.
Absolutely. It's fun to play with the grill tape. It is. I mean, it's not that cool, but I remember back at Barry Speedway with the NASCAR Pinty Series. It was the Canadian Tire Series at the time. And, you know, we joked around with J.R. Fitzpatrick that he's always got his tongue hanging out, you know, digging at Barry Speedway.
Yeah, yeah.
So, of course, he went to the hauler for something, and we taped up the grill, and we put a big mouth with the tongue hanging out. And it actually, like, the tongue, it was like a red tongue. And
It
looked like a tongue. And, you know, it flapped in the wind as he dug. We got the pole for that race, but it's fun to play with stuff like that. I like seeing that. When you go to a short track, you know, have some fun.
Give me a grade on the Xfinity race that we've seen on Saturday. Give me a grade. What did you think? 1 to 10, give me a grade on that race.
A grade on the...
What you thought.
I mean, you know, I liked... they did tear stuff up. Don't get me wrong. They tore a lot of stuff up. But I liked the racing style in the Xfinity series. But I don't think that I liked it as much as the trucks or how the cup cars raced in the duels.
Yeah. Well, hey, the truck race was a standalone. I guarantee
if
that.
If they didn't wad them up and they actually finished, you know, on that 3x3 run like they were, that was amazing. That was some of the coolest racing that I've ever seen on a short or on a super speedway.
Yep.
So I think that out of all the races in Daytona, the best race by far so far has been the truck race. The Xfinity race, I was actually kind of let down at how good the lead car could do with that package. You know, it seems like they build this big bubble of air behind the car.
Yeah.
And the closing rate of the trucks is actually like a natural closing rate where you know, you're breaking the air and the guy out back can actually suck up to the car.
Right.
I don't see that in the Xfinity car. What I see is like and they talked about it a lot, the rubber band effect.
Yeah.
And the rubber band effect, it happens so erratically. You know, where the guy out front could be 5 mile an hour slower than the pack, and then once the pack catches them, that bubble of air pushes the car forward again, and the elastic band kind of goes back and forth. Where the trucks is just, there's just a natural suck where where the car out back can suck up to the truck that is out front and actually gain the momentum to pass. So I have to go, if we're going to, how are we grading this? By ABC?
No. Well, 1 to 10.
1 to 10.
You give it a 1 to 10.
I'm going to give it like a 6.
Are you?
Like a 6.4.
And the truck race, I guess that would be a 9 out of 10.
No, it would be like an 8.5.
8.5? Well, I personally, the truck race, I'm going to give it a 9.9 out of 10.
You can't do that.
Excited.
Come on.
And I would have to say with the Xfinity race, I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10.
If
Alex Labbe would have been didn't get wrecked, I would have gave it a 9.9 too. I was keyed in on it. Like it was excitement level was right up there.
And 100%. You know, we look at the beginning of today's Daytona 500.
Yes.
They just,
it's got the potential.
They automatically dive into single file and they go click off a bunch of laps. I'm okay with that. I am okay with that in a 500-mile race, in a 200-mile race. I'm okay with being smart and getting to the end. Hopefully the end is a crazy finish and there's, you know, 35 or 40 cars left on the racetrack.
Right.
I'm okay. Be smart. You know, be smart. Put yourself in position. When I look at the Xfinity race, I can't give it an equal score or even close to an equal score to that of the Truck Series package that they have aerodynamically.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no reason why with today's technology, NASCAR has to see that. The fans have to see that. That the package with the trucks is the best package in restrictor plate racing.
Hands down.
If we're going to say that everybody on the racetrack in the Cup Series is the best drivers in the world, right? However you want to put that, however you want to word that.
Right.
If you put them in the package of the Truck Series without Ian experience, it would be incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it would.
And I think that, you know, that package is doable with a car just with the drag that they produce, you know? I know that they have a big spoiler on the Cup car and they have those wicker fins on the front and, you know, all those different things. But when you look at it, I love the truck package.
Yes.
Carbon copy the aero footprint of a truck on a car.
Yeah.
And let's have at it.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be incredibly interesting. Let's have a listen. Noah Gragson won the race for Junior Motorsports. Here he is in the media center after the race, and he sort of looks back on his career and celebrating the day. Have a listen.
I started racing when I was 13 years old and raced Bandoleros for a year and then Legend Cars. And I've always looked up to guys that I'm racing out on the racetrack, these bigger name guys, and I'm still a big fan of theirs. So to be able to race against them and be able to race here at Daytona, I never would have dreamed about racing here. It's a privilege to be able to be here at Daytona, driving a fast Chevrolet and for Junior Motorsports, man. It's a privilege, and then to be able to win, I can't put it into words. What I'm feeling right now, I'm trying to soak it all in, and never would have thought this day would have come, but very, very thankful for everybody who's been there along the way and wouldn't be here without them.
Yeah, cool for Noah and that team. For all of those guys, they needed that win. They wanted the win, and you know what? They earned it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know,
that's what it takes.
You look at Noah Gragson and the talent level that he is and, you know, the personality that he has. He's a lot of fun. You know, the fans, he's gaining fans every single day. And he puts on a show every time that he's, you know, not wearing a helmet or wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
he's a fierce competitor. And you know, you you look back on it, Dale Earnhardt Jr. kind of alluded to it a little bit in Victory Lane. The kid's got a lot of stuff going on in his life right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he does.
And some of it's not very positive.
Right.
You know? So,
but he's making it positive.
But he's making it positive. He's making it, you know, he's able to go out there and perform. And he's killing it. And I think that, you know, when you look at where he's going to be, I think that this is a lot of momentum. Of course, winning is a propulsion system to go forward
right.
in career. But it was a big win, you know, and I think that it's much needed. I think the success that he had last year is going to be amplified by this win. And, you know, a lot of people kind of looked at it. You know, you look at the guys who have came out of that ride and out of that number nine car, right? And he drove yep. it all year last year. You look at William Byron. He lit the lamp, won the championship, moved on, right? You look at Tyler Reddick.
yeah, another one.
Won the championship, moved on.
Yep.
And then Noah Gregson went out there and didn't win the championship, you know? So
yep. And he's still there.
And he's still there. And, you know, so a lot of people had a little bit of their sights pointed at him, you know, and drivers feel that, you know, you can tell
yep.
It's, yep. it's when you strap into a car that did perform and then now doesn't, they feel that and it's easy to get bogged down and to lose the fire, you know, if you will. And when you look at, I compare it a little bit to Joey Logano with the Home Depot deal,
yeah.
you know, he lit the lamp on everything that he drove and he got to the ultimate team in NASCAR, you know, the Tony Stewart JGR number 20 Home Depot car, and this young kid that lit the lamp and everything jumped into it and then didn't perform
right.
And you know, a lot of people were kind of painting the same dynamic to Noah Gregson in the nine with JRM, and I think that he's going to shut up a lot of people by that win this past weekend, and hopefully he can go out there and do a bunch more with it as well, because the team is obviously there. They have speed, and I think JRM is on a path to have a tremendous amount of success this year.
Well, there is from the victory, you know, you take a look at Noah, the victory, you take a look at Grant with the victory, the celebrations are all there. Then you look at Cup, and you start heading down and getting ready for the Daytona 500. And I just wanted to touch on this one thing. The 96 car, driven by Daniel Suarez, Marty Gaunt's car, Gaunt Brothers Racing, the 96 Toyota. They went out there, didn't qualify on time. They had to race their way in on Thursday, or attempt to race their way in, and disaster breaks out. And no Daniel Suarez in the Daytona 500. Talk about dejection. Man, that was heartbreaking for him. Still is. And I know that, you know, there is no quitting Daniel Suarez. There is no quitting Marty Gaunt. That wasn't of their making. They got tied up in one, and that happens. But you got to watch for those guys. I believe you're going to see some huge success out of the 96 car throughout the course of the year. What do you think?
Yeah, when you look at it, I don't think that you're going to see huge success like winning races. I think you're going to see huge success of being a top 25 car at some places that they go to, and managing expectations. You know, it's the team is very small. They're very limited in resources, and sure, they've got something to prove now. But this comes back all the way from, remember the top 30, the top 35 in owner's points back
yeah.
in the day?
Yeah.
Right? And then it went to, you know, the charter system.
Right.
The charter system, the top 36 now. Back then, it used to be the top 35, and you had a bunch of qualifying spots, you know, from 35th on back. Now it's 36, and it only goes to 40. There's only four open spots.
Right.
You know, when you look at it. It creates this model of mediocrity that you can have in the NASCAR Cup Series. To be honest with you, when you look back in history, there was no level of mediocrity that you could survive on. And right now, the only teams making money are the people who are mediocre.
Right. Yeah.
The
yeah.
only teams in NASCAR that are making a financial windfall are the people who own a charter that ultimately don't race for wins, that race for keeping their charter.
Yeah.
And those are the only teams that are actually creating $400,000-$600,000 in revenue a year. Mm. You know, it in order to win in the Cup Series, you need to spend on average of $50 to $60 million
yeah.
a year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
If you want to win enough. In the Cup Series, right? Yep. $50 to $60 million a year on the car. And higher numbers than that can be spent, right? Really hard to keep your hand on it. So when you look down the line, the teams that are spending $2 to $8 million a year that constantly get lapped on lap 10 at every race that you go to are the teams that are making the money. And they're making money.
Maybe not making money, but not,
they, no,
not,
they are
not
making,
blowing as much.
They're not spending it.
Yeah,
and they're not investing in performance. They're investing in getting there.
Right,
and that is a heck of a lot of a different proposition in racing to be a start and park team versus a winning team. Then you've got a bunch of teams in there that are trying to be winning teams that are blowing their brains out on money spent.
Right,
trying stuff and failing.
But that's how you're going to do it, right?
Exactly. But the teams that are mediocre, the teams that are mediocre in the sport are very, very detrimental to the business model.
Yeah.
When you look at a team like GBR, I'm not saying they deserved a spot in that race.
Right.
If you do not qualify, you do not get a spot in that race.
Yeah. And right? you shouldn't.
And you shouldn't.
Right.
But when you look at the mediocre level of the cars that are at the back of the field in the Daytona 500 tomorrow, there's like 10 cars that aren't as good as that one that was out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, yeah. And so when you look at the entire procedure of the business model in NASCAR, GBR is forced and really should own a charter. They yeah. should buy a charter. If they plan on being a team that is going to be moving forward,
well,
they
now,
need to have a charter.
Now that Daniel Suarez is in the mix, that all came together like in January. So things came together quite rapidly.
Yeah. And I hope that was planned for, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that I really hope, and I know that Marty Gaunt is a very smart individual.
Yeah.
And I know that there's a tremendous amount of brain power in that race team. And you know, there's money there from sponsorship. They've got a good sponsor lineup. But when you look at it, you know, I hope that it was planned for with the opportunity to miss the 500. Because missing the 500, you're not just out the payout that you would have got. You're out the money that it takes to get there, plus the money that you were going to get.
Well, it was going to pay like, what is it, $225,000 or used
to
anyway.
Yeah, it's
just to start.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's kind of crucial that you're in there.
That's a lot of bread.
Just to get that bread back. One other quick note I want to say for fans to keep your eye on. Timmy Hill in that 66 car. There is some Canadian involvement in that baby, right? Derek White. From Ganawagi, Quebec, OCR Gazbar Chevrolet.
Toyota.
Toyota. Yeah, but he used to be.
Yeah.
Derek did. He has ownership in that car.
Yes.
So kind of cool to see Timmy Hill qualify to get in. And, well, when that last rain came out, I believe Timmy Hill was in 10th spot
yeah.
in the Daytona 500. So I'm going to be watching Timmy Hill tomorrow when they're on that racetrack, as I'm going to be watching everybody. But definitely going to keep a little bit of my focus in on that 66 to see how he does, because it is Daytona, and dreams can come true at Daytona. And tomorrow at 4 o'clock, that's when the Daytona 500 will continue. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to change the talk to short track racing, New Smyrna Speedway. We'll talk supers first, and we're going to do that with a Canadian from Nova Scotia, driver of the number 13, Austin McDonald's going to join us on the other side of the break. Stay there. We will be back.
Hello, race fans. This is Adam Andretti, and you're listening to the best of Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
oh. Hey,
everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bowl shopping.
Hey, sir, I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Shine.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports. Not NFL, sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
We're back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in right here on Sirius XM Channel 167 Canada Talks. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Junior, here in the RTR studio. Now we move the conversation to the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing, New Smyrna Speedway. And I gotta say, anybody that couldn't make it there would have been trying to watch online. If you're in the U.S., you could go to NBC Track Pass, and you could pick the race up, watch everything. If you were here in Canada, it was not available. You couldn't get it on this side of the border. We, Junior, were fortunate. I couldn't say a word last week because, you know, I didn't want to get anyone in trouble, didn't want anything to happen, didn't want to lose our ability to watch. But we were fortunate enough to be able to watch each and every night of the World Series, and we did in HD, and it was through a guy that that was a real good guy, and ended up we were in a select bunch, and we were able to watch. And I'll tell you what, we got treated to some dynamite racing in the World Series. Probably, I'm going to say it was the best World Series action that I have witnessed for, I bet you, 10 years. That was a dynamite week of racing.
It was. There was controversy. There was good, close racing. There was wrecks. There was really good, close finishes. There was solid car counts. It was everything
movement.
You could ask for.
Movement?
Movement, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the way that the inverts worked, it created good racing. No, the inverts at New Smyrna are not new.
No,
But, you know, we've seen a lot of passing. There was a tremendous amount of passing on the racetrack. There was lead changes. There was good, close racing.
A lot of green flag long run.
There was.
And that was cool to see.
Yeah, usually there's a division or two that destroy everything.
Yep.
And, you know, the only race that I can think back and look at and say, wow, was the Pro Late Model race on, I believe it was night number 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Where they wrecked everybody and everything.
that was tough.
That was there. But that being said, you're going to have that. You know,
Jamie Skinner and the
Nolan.
Jet Nolan.
Yeah.
Those two guys at the beginning of the week started it. They were on one another, and it got pretty nasty, And I know Mike Skinner, we've seen it on the broadcast. Mike Skinner was there trying to calm everybody down and actually talk and get it all sorted out. And good on those two teams because within a couple of nights, they did get it sorted out. And it was back to racing as opposed to who's got a bigger budget and who's got more cars available.
Yeah. But when you look at it, I mean, when you look at Jamie Skinner and you look at Jet Nolan, you know, they wrecked a pile of stuff. They raced each other in such a crazy way.
Yeah.
And you know, it's surprising to me. It's more often than not you're going to see two teams like that. Once they start to hate each other, it never goes away.
Yeah. Yeah. It just keeps going and going, right?
It's surprising to me that everything turned around. Very surprising. To be honest with you, I have not seen that happen in the past. There are teams that you know, even I cringe when I go in through the back gate if we have to race against them.
Yeah.
You know, like if I'm on a team and they roll in through the back gate and I see them and it's like, ugh, I hate that guy.
Right.
You know, or I don't like that guy.
Yeah.
Or whatever, right? Like right. It's you just know that you're in for trouble as soon as you see them.
Yeah.
And Jamie Skinner flat out wrecked Jet Nolan.
He did.
Like he didn't just turn him. Flat out wrecked him and then everybody just forgave each other. It's something that is absolutely mind-blowing to me. Hats off to CRA for, you know, it's got to be portion of the track stepping in. There had to be words. I know the Riot Act was read to them in the driver's meeting, and I know that, you know, there was, you know, definite, you know, hard feelings there. And everybody straightened themselves out. And you don't normally see that, man. It was kind of cool that it happened that way.
Yeah.
But if you do, if you do look at it, they didn't really race each other after that anymore either. You didn't see them nose to tail, front, side by side.
No.
So I think the next time you see it racing is a funny way, you know, putting two guys together at the same place, you know, with real estate. So I think the next time you see them side by side, you know, door handle racing.
Yeah.
Those feelings might come back.
Yeah. Well, and could very well. We're going to switch the conversation. We'll get back to Supers in a bit. Let's get to the hotline now and welcome in. How about one of the Prolate drivers that from Canada got a win night number one in a masterful week all week long. Great job done by the 08 car. Nicholas Noggle is with us on the hotline. Nicholas, how are you? And congratulations on a great Speed Weeks, my friend.
Pretty good. Thanks, you guys. Thanks for having me back.
Dynamite. 9 nights of Speed Weeks. Wow. Take us through that. How was it? It's got to be grueling for you guys.
Yeah, no. This year's Speed Weeks, it was pretty tough, I'm not going to lie. The competition in the pro class was so tight, but made for really good hard racing all week long.
Nick, let's start with the win. Night number one. You're there, you got the 08, you are going to focus this week on Pro Late as opposed to Super Late. You're going to concentrate on it. You unload, and man, you had a rocket ship underneath you. It had to feel great. Take us through night number one at New Smyrna.
Yeah, no, night one went really well for us. We took out the old car for night one, just thinking that things might be a little rough, and ended up qualifying, I think, 7th. And then with the invert, it started us outside pole to Connor Mozak. And I knew right then that it gave us a fairly good shot. So the focus was making sure that we got a good start. And once we got out front, we never really looked back. Just kept pushing forward and hoping for the best.
Now, a late caution did come out in that race. I thought, okay, here you go, Nick. Here is your test. Restart time. You had to have a restart spot on when the field got back together. All of those thundering guys that you were warring with were all right there. And, Nick, you did a perfect job on that restart. You jackrabbited out, away you went, and you went to victory lane. What was that like inside the car on that restart? Did it have your nerves sort of on edge?
I mean, it was a little nerve-wracking, I won't lie. But I was pretty confident in it. I knew that we were probably one of the better cars restarting this week, so... I knew we had to get to the line together, but after that, it didn't really matter. So once we were there, we were on it wide open. And then once I heard that we were clear going down into one, I knew we were set.
Nick, working with you know, with Butch and Van Dorn throughout the week, you also had the opportunity, up by the sounds of it, through the broadcast, Travis Braden even worked with you a little bit. A lot of knowledge in the pit area for the 08 team. I touch on it a lot when we talk about Speed Weeks at any point in time. It's about learning when you're down there. What did you take away from Speed Weeks? Not just winning and not just running through the field nightly, but what did you take away from this week that's going to translate into everything that you do moving forward?
Yeah, this week, that was the biggest goal this week, was just the seat timing, learning some stuff that we were weak on, and I can't lie, it was probably the best learning experience we could have. It over the week, I drastically improved my qualifying efforts, which that's where we were lacking, and then getting to work with Butch and Travis. I mean, they're both really great guys, good friends of ours, and they taught me all the little things and just long race runs, how not to mess up and where you're going to look to be passing people and what to do, in all honesty, just to make clean passes and run a fair race.
Well, I got to imagine that you, this time around, this was your third visit to the World Series. I got to imagine they know Nicholas Nuggel now. You probably gained a pile of respect amongst the guys you're racing with.
Yeah, over the last couple of years, we've gotten to know a lot of people. We know a lot of the staff over there and all the kids that we're racing against. And that's the biggest thing, is you don't want to go down there and start burning bridges. Getting ruffling feathers is the best way to put it. But we definitely wanted to go down there and make our presence known. And pretty much everyone around there knew that we were there all week. We were very fast, and we were a presence.
Did you get a chance to pull both cars out of the trailer and give both of them a good run? And was one piece any better than the other?
That's the unfortunate part about Speed Weeks. We got about halfway through the week there, and that put a real damper on our championship standings when we ended up destroying that first car going down the back stretch. But we rolled out the backup, and it was lightning fast since then. Been on the pole a couple times in practice, and put it at the top of the board in qualifying a couple nights, and it was just it was a rocket ship, and I definitely was real happy with it.
That car that you destroyed, of course, we've seen it. There was a big incident. You ended up catching a little bit of air off the front tire of, I believe it was the 28 car. I don't know who it was, but you kind of ramped over the left front. You were kind of in the air and went down and hit the inside wall. How bad is that car? Is it fixable? Or are you going to be rolling that back out, or was she a done deal?
That night, we definitely destroyed that car, unfortunately. What had happened is there was a little racing incident. We went up over the left front of the 9 car of Hudson Alder. And when we did, we ended up making contact with the inside wall with the foot box first and then with the rear end, and it just twisted the chassis all to hell. So we'll get it back to the shop and strip it down and see what's left, but I don't really have high hopes for that car right now.
Gotcha.
That's the same incident, if I remember correct. That was the same one that Jerry Artuso ended up smoking that barrel. It went about 30 feet in the air and hit that pickup truck on the infield. Isn't that the same wreck? I'm pretty sure that was the same wreck, that one. It was pretty wild to see.
For sure.
And what? Here you go, another night. I don't know which night it was, Nick, that you went out there, you put the car on the pole, and then there's an 8 invert. That must have been a heartbreak.
Yeah, no, that was the unfortunate part. Racing there, the pro competition, more than any, was very tight, with probably the top 8 or 10 cars all being within a tenth and a half. So, unfortunately, it was so important to get starting position there because there wasn't much passing to be done. And that night we went out and we knew we wanted to put it on the pole. We went ahead and did that. And to go and draw an 8 after that, it was kind of disheartening. But we still went in there knowing no matter what, we're going to give it our all to try and get the car to the front.
Who drew the number, Nicholas?
I'd rather not discuss that.
Who was it? No, you got to tell us now. Who drew it?
That's all my fault.
Yeah, that's right.
If there's one strong suit I wish I could have worked on, was drawing, because unfortunately any time we draw a number, it doesn't seem to come out in our favor.
Hey, man, anytime, any team that I've ever worked with, if they say, hey, go over there and either sign in or draw the number, I just say no. I walk away. I'm not doing that ever. ever, yeah. I send whoever else to go do that. But and I think you should do the same, because judging by your luck, you're not very good at that particular, you know, mode of transportation.
Well, that's the unfortunate part. We won't discuss names here, but before that qualifying run, I said, if we go out and put it on the pole, someone else is going to draw. Sure enough, I went out and put it on the pole, and that person would not go draw for me.
With Nicholas Noggle, he is from Nova Scotia, but he was at the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing, came away with a win. Where did you shake out in the points?
Fifth.
I think after our second place finish on the last night there, we ended up finishing fifth in points. The unfortunate part is, with that big night of racks, unfortunately only four cars finished, so they had quite a point advantage on everyone else.
Yeah, it happens, right? It's eight nights out of nine, and, you know, one bad night can spoil that championship run. But, man, I'll tell you what, it made it unbelievable exciting. Dario Capriccio also in the field. Did you get a chance to meet Dario in the 03? Were you talking to those guys at all from Ontario?
Unfortunately, I didn't get around to them. We spent a lot of time around Connor Mozak and the nine car of Hudson Halder and Jamie Skinner and his whole crew. And we met a lot of the drivers, but unfortunately it was such a busy week, we didn't get to meet them all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? There's always next year. You got plans to do some more racing. I know we'll see you in the Parts for Trucks tour. At least I hope we do. And what else you got on the docket? I know when we had you on before Speed Weeks, you were maybe looking at a few more U.S. races.
Yeah, no, we're definitely going to go and make sure that we run the Easter Bunny and Hickory before we come home. And I'd like to get at least one more super race in between here and then, just to kind of keep my feet wet and make sure that we're in a car. And I find it makes quite a big difference when you return home and you're not really shaking the dust off. You're still going.
Yeah, well, you did an amazing job, my friend. You made Pro Late Model Racing very exciting. I'll tell you, we were glued to the tube every time you were on that racetrack, and kind of cool stuff. The longer races, did you like that 100-lapper? You ended up finished second in it. So I guess you like the longer races. And, oh, in the Parts for Trucks tour, the least we do is 150 laps. So you must love the longer stuff.
Yeah, the 35-lap nightly races, they're fun, but there's not a lot of time to really get anything done. It's just wide open for 35, less strategy and just more put it down. But I really enjoy the long races. I enjoy being able to sit behind a wheel and really strategize a race and figure out, oh, you don't want to push so hard right now so that you have stuff for the end.
Exactly. Your biggest takeaway from this year's World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing in New Smyrna, what's the biggest thing you take away from this this experience?
Don't draw for invert.
Well, there's that, but it was, if anything, it was a big confidence booster for me and my team. I've realized that we have one of the strongest teams around, and we have a lot of knowledge backing us, and I think this season coming back home, we're definitely going to have a car to contend with, and I'm very confident in everyone that's backing me.
Well, you got to love it. Sponsorship on your car. Take us through them, buddy.
I got to thank Bricon, Mobile One, honestly, my whole team and my parents, just everyone that makes this possible. Without them, we wouldn't be doing it week after week. But, I mean, they all enjoy it as much as I do, and I really appreciate all of them for it.
Well, you kept us interested. I can guarantee you that, my friend. Good on you. Congratulations. Safe travels home. And I know we'll catch you before that Easter Bunny. We'll get your thoughts heading into that big show.
Sounds good, guys. I hope that you guys have a good night, and I really appreciate you guys having me on.
You betcha. That's Nicholas Noggle, driver of the 08, the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing at New Smyrna. Junior, big, big time. I know when you guys were down there with Andrew Grizzell, you got that first win. I'll tell you, that's sweet.
It is. Well, our first win got taken away in Tech Shed, but it is sweet. You know, just being on the the front straightaway, and you know, it's the big time, right? When you look at New Smyrna Speedway, when you look at any of those big Southern shows, you know, up here in Canada, we're always just chomping at the bit for racing content, right? We're looking at everything to do with racing because it's in our blood. We love it. And you know, we want to, we all aspire to be down there. You know, we all aspire to race against guys like Bubba Pollard and Jamie Skinner and those types of names. And New Smyrna provides that. And it also has the historical value as well. Think about the names that have turned laps at that place and had success there or didn't have success there. You know, you think about guys like Junior Hanley and you think about guys like Don Biederman and all those types of guys going down south and turning laps and making a name for themselves. And you also think about the hot shoes like the Ryan Preces of today or like the Tony Stewarts from back in the day and the Teddy Christophers and those types of names. So when you look at it, you know, you go down there and really no matter what, if you're from Canada and you have a late model, I don't care how good or how much money you have or anything, you're bringing a knife to a gunfight because they get to do this every night, every Saturday night from basically the entire year. Any yep. Saturday night, anybody yep. from the state of Florida can race. And really they could race in a multitude of different facilities and you know, they can race on dirt, they can race on asphalt. We only have a very short window. So as much as we all love it, as much as we all love racing and we eat, sleep, and breathe it on the competition side, when you show up through the back gates for the World Series, you know that you're underhanded. You're an underdog. And you know, you need to create those partnerships. And those partnerships are what makes these guys so strong now. I have a firm belief that Nicholas Nogle is going to show up in the Parts for Trucks Tour, and everybody is going to ask, where did Nogle come from? Yeah. He's going to be fast. He's yeah. going to be strong.
Yeah, if they didn't follow what took place at the World Series,
exactly,
they're going to say, wow, has he picked his program up?
Exactly. And but that's how you do it. You go down there, and you literally get your ass kicked for 9 nights. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. You just feel like you're always under attack. And the competition level that he spoke about is something that everybody thrives on, you know, and everybody loves. So when you think back to New Smyrna and you think back to pro late model or super late model racing, I always say to everybody, I know it's a big investment. I know it is. But put an effort together and work on that and get down there because it's going to make your program here so much stronger.
The experience alone is going to be
exactly.
worth it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Nicholas coming away with success.
Yeah.
How about that? Good on him. And good on all the Canadians. It was a great Speed Weeks this year. Didn't matter whether it was Daytona International Speedway, Volusia County Speedway, or at New Smyrna Speedway, all the way around. A good, successful year for Speed Weeks.
Absolutely.
For Canadian competitors, man. Very, very good. Got to tip our hat to absolutely all of the guys. And Jason White. How about that? Two top tens at the big track.
I also want to be clear that I don't mean any, you know, I don't mean any, you know, bad things. I don't mean any or to disparage, you know, what Nicholas did by saying you're bringing a bullet or, you know, a knife to a gunfight.
No.
I mean, you know, just because of the amount of, you know, ability to go racing every weekend, he brought some really good equipment down there.
He sure did. We're going to hit this break when we come back. Fingers crossed. We're going to try and grab Austin McDonald. Talk to him about his super program.
Fans, this is Mike Skinner, pole sitter of the Daytona 500 in 1997. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
The NFL is on Sirius XM. Listen to every game from the preseason through Super Bowl 53 on your radio.
Here we go. Tackle football. Let's play.
And remember, your hometown broadcast is always available on the Sirius XM app. When you're at home, turn down the TV volume and stream the game on your phone and Sirius XM connected devices and speakers. And when your team isn't playing, follow the National Football League 24/7 on Sirius XM NFL Radio, channel 88.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90, is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Perfect! Woo!
Everything's happening
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. New Smyrna Speedway, super late models. Man, did they do a great job this year. One driver we were keyed in on from Nova Scotia drives the number 13 King Freight Chevrolet and did a dynamite job behind the wheel, Austin McDonald. And he's with us on the hotline. What's going on there, Austin? How you doing?
Good, guys. How are you?
Fantastic, man. You did a good job behind the wheel of that 13 car this week. Good for you.
Thank you. It was a long week. We made a lot of gains throughout the week, gained a lot of confidence, and I'm really happy with how it ended up.
I guess every time that I went and had a look, Austin, trying to key in on where that 13 car was, and not always did I figure out where you qualified. I was picking you up through the broadcast and watching the ticker at the top, and man, you were consistent, you were running. Not a lot of cautions in those races for you to reel in real estate because things would get stretched out a wee bit. But man, you did a good job, very consistent, and it must have been a real good learning 9 nights of racing at New Smyrna.
Absolutely. I learned a ton this week. There's a lot of great cars show up, too. I mean, I was racing against the best of the best, Bubba Pollard, Ty Majeski, Ryan Moore. And they're all there. They're all really good cars. And, I mean, I learn a lot from racing against those guys. You're racing against pros, so you learn from them and learn. Watch what they do and run their line. They've been racing there for 5 to 10 years, so I can learn a lot just from watching those guys. And then being able to race with them is just another great factor.
Austin, looking down through the results, and now I was scrolling through and wanted to see where you were, you know, in the points for the super lates. So I was scrolling through and just taking a peek, and of course you finished sixth in the super late models. That's a huge number. You know, it's a very respectable finish, obviously. Now I'm scrolling through, this is in the production, and I'm looking to see where Nicholas Noggle shook out. And I scroll into the prolate models, and I watched every night from down there, but I see you in the prolate model results. When did you race a prolate?
We raced a prolate last year.
Yeah,
that's what I said.
So now I'm looking on the 2020 results, and it says Austin McDonald, number 13, has minus 310 points in the 2020 results on Speed 51. So I have no idea. I didn't think that you raced a prolate model at all this year.
Okay, so we registered the prolate model because we were maybe going to pull it out during the 100 lappers.
Oh, okay.
If it went well with the super, but we didn't run it.
Got you. Okay, that's got to be what happened then. Because I was like, what? I didn't see him in a prolate.
Yeah, Junior said, I've got him in a prolate here. I said, no, you don't, Junior. He ran super all week. I know he did.
Yeah,
no,
he said,
right here. I said, I don't know, man. Maybe that's old.
That's crazy.
But that's what I watched
you all week, my friend, and you did a great job. And you know, we just asked Nicholas Noggle this as well, but what was your biggest takeaway? What did you learn the most that you're going to be able to inject into your racing, not only for the next year, but ongoing into the future?
So as fresh as I am into pro late models, super late models, I'm still getting used to the car control and taking this extra step into supers from pros last year just made me gain a lot of confidence. And a lot of car control was my biggest thing. Is I'm already still learning with the pro and the full-size car from Legend Cars, and now we gained extra power, extra torque. I just feel a lot more comfortable now, and I think the super and the extra power is going to help me in the pro late model and more super late model races that we take on in the future.
Yeah, good for you. You got to learn something. And, man, I believe I never seen not one scratch on your race car all week long. If it happened, I missed it. Was it straight every night? Did you get a chance to just use the one car throughout the week?
Yeah, we never had to roll with the backup, so that's always a good thing. That was a huge takeaway from this week, too. I know a lot of cars didn't make it through the week. We were lucky enough to keep all four fenders and all four wheels on it. There was a lot of rubbing, and we got used up a little bit, but I also used up a few guys, too, in the 50-lapper and the 100-lapper. But in that 50-lapper, it was a rough race. Everybody's tires getting hot, but that just comes with a super late model, too.
Absolutely.
Man, the weather was spot on this year. You guys must have just lapped that up. I know when they were even panning out to the parking lot as fans were leaving the speedway, I said to Junior, look at that. There's no dew on the windows. Normally in Florida, it's beautiful through the day. You get into the twilight, and then, hey, guess what? It's cool at night, and you get a bunch of dew up. Not so this year, at least not on the nights we were watching. It looked like it was nice warm temperatures.
Yeah, it was very warm. The biggest change is I still found that the track changed, even though the temperature didn't really. It stayed pretty consistent. It was a little bit warm throughout the day, cool off throughout the night, but with a lot of the new modified rubber and ARCA rubber and it cooling down at night and being really hot in the day, it changes the track so much. Even if it didn't rain, which it didn't down here, we were lucky enough to get in every night. The track changed a ton for us.
Right. Qualifying is something that really pays dividends, especially when the competition is so tight. I know you were consistently right around that 10th, 12th, 13th mark in qualifying. Is that something that you look at as a driver and say, okay, the next thing I'm going to work on is that qualifying effort?
Absolutely. That's where I struggled throughout the whole week. We had really good race speed and really good practice speed. We could pick off quite a few cars in the race. Qualifying hurt me a lot, personally. I missed it a few nights, and we missed it, but that was my biggest goal throughout the week, was just to keep improving. And in the 100-lapper, I went as quick as I did all week in my qualifying. It's so tight when you're racing, because a 10th would have put me from 12th to 3rd. Everybody's running so close, and you have to just maximize everything. And where I haven't done a lot of qualifying in the past, mainly heat races, yeah, I struggled, but I'm going to keep working at it and try to get better.
Hey, kiddo, you did amazing, amazing job this week. You, the crew, absolutely amazing job. You can't learn everything in that short a time. What you did learn this week, just amazing. I know it's going to make for an excellent program as you guys get home. What is the plan now? When is your next race? Do you guys load up, head back to Nova Scotia and get ready for the Pro Stock Tour, or what's the plans?
So my next race will be at Southern National Motorsports Park in 2 weeks on the Cars Tour. We're also planning on doing the Hickory race, maybe if my schedule will fit into it, also on the car store in super late models. We'd like to get a few more super late model races in before the season picks up at home. You'll definitely see us on the Pro Stock Tour. Maybe a little bit of Legend Car here and there. We're hopefully going to run Texas. I'm definitely looking forward to New Hampshire and even Jacasa. That's a big event on my list, probably my biggest. I have to get practice in for that one.
Cool. Yeah, you'll love it. I would think, Junior, you'd know better than I would. Differences, would there be any similarities between the half mile, I know it's high banked half mile at New Smyrna, to what they go through at Jacasa?
Nothing.
No?
Not a whole lot. No, nothing's going to transfer from there. The main thing that you're, like, I mean, if you can you know, keep up with the steering at New Smyrna, you can keep up with it at Jukasa, for sure.
Jukasa, yeah.
You know, it's just such a sweeping corner at Jukasa. It's about maintaining that grip, but being right on the edge of being loose. So, I mean, you're kind of in the same mode because you attack the corner so hard at New Smyrna and you attack the corner so hard at Jukasa, but you need to float it through the center. And, I mean, but if you're good at New Smyrna, you're going to be good against the competitors that are at Jukasa as well. I mean, you got to race against some of the biggest names in super late models this week. I know you've been, you know, lighting the lamps. A lot of people have been excited about watching you. And, when you look back on this year, I think that this will be a turning point in your career, and you're going to say, wow, there's going to be some really exciting stuff coming down the pipe. And I can't wait to see it, my friend. You're going to do some wild things in a super late.
Thank you. I got to thank all my fans and all my supporters at home, my sponsor, and especially my crew for getting me through this week. They did a lot for me, put a really good car underneath of me and stuck with me through it all. They're going to be with me through it this year and, well, hopefully through it a lot of years and in the future. My crew chief, Andrew Hicken, my grandfather especially, Roland McDonald, I mean, he puts in the money and the support into this team for me and for me to gain and move throughout this sport, so I can't thank him enough. And it's a great time being able to have a family in racing and run with my family and have my grandfather, my father, and my mother, just everybody all included in this team.
Well, good job on you, man. It was awesome watching you down there. You rubbed elbows and fenders with some of the best in the business. You learned a lot, and I know we can't wait to see how all that learning is going to equate to when you get back up on this side of the border. We're looking forward to catching up with you this year, guaranteed throughout the course of the summer, Austin.
Absolutely. Thank you. It's always great being on the show with you guys. You guys give me a lot of support too, and it's great that you guys always help these young racers and even older racers. It's great what you guys do for the sport.
Well, thanks so much. We appreciate it, and I know the fans just love it when we get drivers on that are coming through their career and heading onward and upward. Bud, you have a safe travel home. Have safe races, and I know we'll be in touch lots between now and that next green flag.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Have a great night.
You betcha. That's Austin McDonald, driver of the number 13 King Racing Chevrolet. Did a dynamite job down there. Sounds like he's got a busy schedule lined up, too.
Absolutely. And, you know, you couldn't ask for much of a better teacher or having a grandfather like Rolly McDonald, you know?
Dynamite.
Like the guy is, I hate to say the Junior Hanley of the East Coast because Junior was from the East Coast, however that works, but he is, right?
Yes. He is.
I mean, he's the Junior Hanley of the East Coast. Everybody in Ontario looks up to Junior Hanley like he's God.
Yep.
On the short track world. And I mean, everybody on the East Coast has to look at Rolly McDonald the exact same way. He's invested everything into the sport. He has held the checkered flags at the biggest events possible. And, he's fielded cars in all the big iconic super late model races. Austin McDonald is going to be a force to be reckoned with if he stays on the path that he's on right now.
Yes.
And loving the sport. He sounds like he's a diehard racer already. You know, just the way that he talks. You can tell that he's not being forced into this deal.
He loves racing.
He loves racing and with an opportunity like that, it's easy to say, look at that kid to be, you know, somebody that's going to be in the top tiers of racing one day. He's going to be, I think.
Yep.
He's got the potential. He's got the brains and the smarts to be there. He's a well-spoken kid already. He's just a young guy.
Surrounded by great people. And Andrew Hicken, all of those guys, man, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And really, when you look at the feeder system that they have created, they're Fury of the North, right?
Yeah.
So they're Fury race cars of Canada. And if you're in Canada and you need anything that's Fury related from Fury race cars, Andrew Hicken is your guy.
Yep.
And so there's a direct line down south as well to all that information, to all that data that it's going to take to make Austin McDonald into something. And really all the customers of King Racing and Hicken. But I'm really excited to see what he can do I was impressed by this week, and I think we're going to see more.
Yeah, awesome. Just the World Series this year, Daytona, just all of it. Speed Weeks 2020, what a success. I know we focus in on the Canadian contingent, but definitely the U.S. guys, we love them to pieces. And you know what? It just makes it all that much bigger and better. Look at the beginning of the season is here. Don't forget tomorrow, Daytona 500. It is going at 4 o'clock. You'll be able to watch it. But that's going to do it for Junior and I here tonight in the RTR studio. Have a good one, everybody. Safe ride home for everybody from the south heading back up north. Don't forget, it's winter up here. You'll have to put those skills back to use. Have a safe trip, and we will see you next weekend, next Sunday, right here on SiriusXM Channel 167, Canada Talks.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.